Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We were talking about Justina, Free Justina, which was this girl who was captured by Children's Services in Massachusetts and taken from her parents and kept prisoner. And I use these terms, kidnap, prisoner, because that's really what's happening. She's been kidnapped and made a prisoner by the government, by the bureaucracies of government, by individuals in the government, because they think they know what's best, and they've decided that they're right. And to decide that they're wrong, that's just out of the question. They just cannot see deciding that they're wrong. They don't want to see that they may be wrong. They may be incorrect. They don't want to see that. You had that problem with something. Something you're wrong about. You don't want to admit it. It's hard to admit that you're wrong. A lot of people think you always think you're right. And I understand that. But why I have the opinions that I have today, why I believe what I believe today, is because I was admitting to myself and to others that I was wrong, and my opinions changed. If you're not humble enough to admit when you're wrong, when you're incorrect, you can't get any better ideas. You can't grow. You can't become wiser, more intelligent, more righteous. When Jesus said, repent, turn around, that's what that means, turn around. Do something different than what you were doing before. Where are you putting your faith? Now this family, and I don't want to pick on them, they just happen to be in the news. They put their faith in doctors. I know they did. Does that mean they shouldn't go to doctors? Well, maybe they needed to. Maybe they had a physical problem that could only be fixed by surgery because they had no power to do it in any other way. I believe that they could have fixed it otherwise, but you can't just say you should, pray harder. They may need to go to that doctor. That may be where God wants them to go, to that doctor. Because they're going to learn something. I think God didn't want their daughter to be captured by the state of Massachusetts and put through this torture. But they maybe needed to go through that in order to become stronger people, more righteous people. I think the father had a temper problem. I think he would admit that. I don't have him here, so I have to talk about this from a speculative sort of being. If he was here, I would say, you have a temper problem, don't you? And I'll lay you odds he'd admit it. But after a year, he's learning to not lose his temper. It's still affecting his perception, because deep down he's still getting angry. But he's coming face to face with it, and he's forced to come face to face with it because of the iniquities of Massachusetts. Like I've said in the previous program, that if you go into this in depth and you look at all the stories surrounding DCF, in Massachusetts, and the head of DCF in Massachusetts, there's a great many politicians. And get a politician to stand up for what's right, you got to be really bad. They want to get rid of him, but the governor is keeping that individual in power. But what I'm saying to you is your whole mindset has created a situation where agencies such as DCF has too much power. You don't have the power anymore. You've given it to somebody else. And with that, you don't have the courage anymore. You have put faith in your armor, your cleverness, your swords, your institutions. And you have to be careful of that. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't go to the doctor, and it doesn't mean you don't hire a lawyer from time to time. You might have to. God may lead you to do that. I don't know. You see, I can't make up rules that is going to run everybody else's life and say, oh, you can never hire a lawyer. Oh, you can never hire a doctor. You know, if you want to get a letter across the country, the post office can still do it. Sometimes. The point is that these are a part of your environment, but it has to do with intent. Intent makes the crime. Intent determines the spiritual energy that is going to walk into a situation with you. So what's your intent? Is your intent to be humble? Is your intent to trust in the spiritual righteousness of God by being righteous with everybody? Are we supposed to be angry at DCF? Are we supposed to go in there and call them names? They are victims. Those tyrants that steal children away from weak women and men and families that are having trauma already so that they can terminate parental rights and get another, whatever it is, $80,000, whatever they get from the federal government when they terminate parental rights. It's just unbelievable, the stories. You could fill every paper every week with stories of atrocities coming out of children's services. And the people in children's services that are halfway decent, they turn a blind eye to it time and time again. In hospitals, you know, had an incident. Somebody I knew had to go into a hospital and had a baby delivered. And they were going to try to have home delivery, and they ended up in a hospital because there were complications and they were willing to go. It ended up being kind of a last-minute thing. And the doctor who delivered the baby did a great job. Great doctor. I know other children delivered by him later on. And when you sit down, or I can, I don't know about you can, because I don't know what God you serve, but the God I serve, when I sat down with that guy, I could see the kingdom tracks in him. I just talk to him and look into his eye, I could see him. But there were other doctors in the hospital who wielded power in their division, their department. And they were evil men. Men who sought power, loved power, lived to exercise power, didn't care who they hurt. They served demonic creatures. That's the kind of men they were. They had a degree, but they don't check for that at medical college, whether you are dealing with demons. Moving from a demonic ambition. They don't see that. They don't guard for that. And this guy had demonic connections. I've seen it in judges as well. Men who seek power, they're very often connected to the demonic side of what we call hell. The darker region, the dark side of the force. You know? They are connected to that, and you can see it in them if you have eyes to see. But do you have the power to deal with the power that's in them, the evil power that's in them? What do you use to repulse evil? Close your eyes, pray, or open your eyes and see? You want to get rid of cockroaches? You don't adjust your eyes to the dark. You turn on the light. They hate the light. You see. Now, what turns off the light quicker than anything causes that bulb to burn out? Anger and judgment. So when you see evil in other men, you have to see it without judgment. You leave the judgment to God. And now you're going to have spiritual armor that other people won't have. And you'll walk in there, and the evil will come and want to take your child and take your daughter. Take your granddaughter. They'll want to take them. They'll want to put them through torture, just like they did during the Spanish Inquisition. But they'll do it with, you know, people with white gowns and blue gloves. They'll want to fondle and torture your child. You can get this in other agencies, too. It doesn't have to be a medical environment. and put their spirit in that child. You ever see a hypnotist work? I mean, do you really know how hypnotism works? It's amazing. You know, just a little touching and words and pushing and pulling back. And before you know it, you have that person in your power. That goes on every day in schools and meetings with psychologists and when you go to the airport, and it's hypnosis. And those of you who do not want to be hypnotized, who resist the power of the hypnotist, resist the power of the manipulator, the puppet masters, you're in danger. I don't know if you expected me to say that, but those of you who want to resist the evil puppet masters, you're in danger. Because your desire to resist is your desire to judge. You know, resist not evil. What is he talking about? Of course we have to resist evil, right? No, you don't understand what he's saying. You aren't to resist evil. You aren't to judge it, pass judgment on it, hate it. You are to love righteousness. I want you to think about this a little. Resist not evil. What does that mean? It means you resist not evil. Repent and turn towards the light, towards righteousness. Moses said, give drink to thy enemy. Mem, water, flow. Flow of what? Those of you who listen enough know what I'm talking about. Mem, giving, charity, love, mem. Jesus says, love thy enemy. Why? Because you're going to give them kisses on the cheek and hug them? No. It will be like hot coals on his head. I tell you, when the evil comes in these places, if you don't stay rooted in the Holy Spirit, you have no armor. You have no protection. You can rant and rave, they're stealing my daughter. They're going to steal your daughter anyway. You don't have the power of God. If you have the power of God, because you have stepped back from being God, you have taken a humble position under God, other people will think, oh, he was just walking around like he was in charge. He didn't seem humble, but he didn't seem like he was ranting and raving either. It was an interesting thing that this doctor that was from the dark side in this other department who wanted control over the child in this one situation and got some control over the child. None of the nurses like him. They think he's a bad guy. They think he's a bad doctor. He's the head of his department. But they don't like him. But they won't speak out against him because they like their jobs. They don't know how to speak out against him. I tell you, if you were a nurse and had the Holy Spirit with you, he wouldn't like to be around you. If you had repented and let God into your heart for real, not just, you know, an opinion of Christ like you get from your local church, but I'm talking about the real God. Those evil guys, you know they're evil. You know it. All the other nurses knew that this guy was a bad guy. He would have no power. He would leave the hospital. He would find another job. He couldn't stand being around you. Every time you walked in the room, he might try to get rid of you, but it wouldn't work if God didn't want you to go somewhere else. If you really walked in the Spirit. People always say, you know, come out of them, my people, lest ye be partakers of their sins. What does that mean? It means get rid of your ID? No. Get rid of this spirit of evil that is in you that says you're God and you can resist evil by your own power. That you can choose what is good and evil by your own knowledge. It's all vanity. When you really submit to God, pay homage to God, worship the God, not your idea of God, but the God, and you walk into those places where those evil men have power, they have no more power. I don't care if it's a courtroom or a hospital. You will have the power with you. You won't have the power. You will have the power with you. And they will have no power. Unless God wanted them to have power for a moment to bring about a set of events that would allow righteousness to take place. You have to be Christ's pawn. Right now, you're the pawn of the world. And now you have some rebellious pawns out there who think that they're going to make things right, but they actually carry with them the spirit of evil. And we'll cover this in the conversations with Moshe. You need to repent. What does repentance look like? It doesn't look like what you're doing. Because you wouldn't be praying to men who exercise authority for your benefits as if they were your benefactors. You would be gathering together in free assemblies to help take care of somebody else besides yourself, because you would love your neighbor as yourself. And so therefore you could not want to do anything else but gather together. Somebody mentioned at our retreat. Now, we have a retreat coming up in Missouri in the spring. We have retreats coming up here, festivals, whatever you want to call them. Burning Bush Festival. You can go to burningbushfestival.org, hear about that. And I think they'll also tell you there about the Missouri Festival. And if we don't have that up there, whoever's in charge should put it up there so that they know that that's the next big event coming up in Missouri. And it's a kind of a camping event. And there's other facilities around where you can stay in motels if you don't want to do the camping. But when they gather, the kids all just gather together. They start interacting right away. The adults are a little bit more hesitant. It's like the festivals of ancient Israel. That's what purpose they're supposed to be serving. But in order for that purpose to get deeper than your average Sunday church or Sabbath church, you have to actually be doing what those Israelites were doing, which was taking care of the welfare of their society, the specific individual welfare of their society through faith, hope, and charity. You have to be doing that. And your ministers that come together will be the ministers who you go to in that day of calamity when your family, when your daughter is taken at a hospital. When I just heard about a woman who got arrested by a policeman and put in jail overnight because she notified him that she was actually recording the stop. He pulled her over for a traffic stop, and he was recording her. He says, by the way, I'm recording you, after they had already been talking a little bit. You know, just probably your phone. You know, you can just push that thing on your phone if you have it set up, and you can record the conversation. And she started doing it because she's got this traffic stop. It was a minor little, she was in the wrong lane evidently or something. She ended up in jail. He ended up grabbing her physically and you know, nice young lady, throwing her in jail overnight. All the charges were dropped. But, you know, folks, that's wrongful imprisonment. He is usurping beyond his right by trumping up false charges and throwing her in jail. This happens all the time. All the time. Every day, I bet you it happens somewhere. You just don't know about it because you didn't watch it on Fox News. When it gets really outrageous and there happens to be a cameraman around and they needed something to fill the news story, then you hear about it. But then you just see it as a blink on your Facebook page and then you don't do anything about it. You don't even know her, so why would you do anything about it? I mean, you don't even know where she was when she was in jail. And she's out of jail now, so, you know. But what are you going to do when you're in jail? When your wife is in jail? When your daughter's in jail? When you go to prison for refusing a vaccination? When they grab you off the street and put you in a work camp? You think that's not going to happen? That's the law. They can do that now. You think it's not going to happen? All you need is a volcanic eruption in the South Pacific and suddenly you don't have, there's going to be food shortages in America. Food shortages in America. Food shortages in America. What are you going to do? Because you already have a machine in place to exercise authority one over the other. That is not benevolent and does not like to admit that it's wrong and that it's making a mistake. And does not like it when you challenge its authority. And you think, well, I'll just get angrier than them. I'll just shake my fist. I'll just go get a bigger gun. You've already lost the battle. And the battle is a spiritual battle. You're resisting evil with evil. Guess what? They got more evil than you do. You're not resisting evil with righteousness. You don't even know righteousness. You don't practice righteousness on a day-to-day basis because you don't take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. In the conversations with Moses, we'll see that he's really got the heart of a tyrant. He's got the heart of a rebel. He doesn't have the heart of righteousness. He can't even see what's righteous. He doesn't even know what liberty is. He doesn't understand charity. You know, this is something we're going to have to talk about a lot, is what is charity? Charity isn't just giving to everybody who doesn't have a motorcycle or ran out of cigarettes. I went once and I bummed cigarettes off of somebody else to give to a guy because I gave my word and I didn't keep it because of situation beyond my control. And that's an interesting story. I actually am going and getting cigarettes for somebody. Totally against smoking. I'm the guy who says to my kids, if I ever catch you smoking, you better be on fire. And that actually, if I catch you chewing, you should have food in your mouth. Fact is, I know a few chewers that I'm now related to, and they say it helps them deal with stress. It doesn't. It helps them not deal with stress. That's why you chew. I mean, it's like an alcoholic. I drink because it helps me deal with stress. No, you drink because you don't want to deal with stress. That's why you guys elect governments. It's the same spirit. That's why you guys elect Sauls and Nimrods. Because you don't want to deal with stress. You want him to deal with stress. And so you give him power to deal with stress. But unfortunately, when you do this, especially in a corporate setting, such as a corporate soul like a king, or a corporation like the United States, where it elects new presidents through its electoral college, or like in England, which has both corporate soul and corporation parliament, is basically a corporate body, has its board of directors, etc., that you elect new board members, and it runs things, and then it also has a corporate soul with a queen. All those are golem. Golems are these clay creatures you create by contract. These monsters that you create by contract. And the more power you give them, the more monstrous they become. And you give them power by your covenants that you make with them to obtain their benefits and their blessings at the expense of your neighbor. Because you don't want to deal with stress. And they help you deal with stress. But you're not dealing with the stress. You're making them deal with it and you give them the power to do it. And before you know it, they're eating you up. You know, the same message I give every time I talk, but I'm showing you this from another point of view. A golem was this, in Hebrew folklore, was this creature that you create out of clay. Now, I'll tell you what that means when we come back. Now, I've talked about it before, and some of you have heard this, but I'm going to go on record a little bit more detail this time when we come back from the break to show you that there are golems wandering the lands everywhere. Giant monstrous golems, Frankenstein monsters. And they're going to devour you unless you have the power to stop them.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson did not write, they are endowed by their constitutions with unalienable rights. Nor did Jefferson write, they are endowed by their elected lawmakers with unalienable rights. Jefferson did write that these truths are self-evident. Does that mean we have to go to school to learn these truths from a teacher? Does self-evident mean we have to read, study, and research these ideas in books written by other men? No, these truths are written on our conscience, on our hearts and minds, written on our souls by our Creator. These truths are maxims of His law. If unalienable rights are endowed, granted, or given by our Creator to each of us, does that mean that there is no free will choice, act, or deed that can bar us from access to these God-given unalienable rights? Is it a self-evident truth that we can freely choose to do anything and we will always maintain access to these natural law unalienable rights endowed by God? Isn't it a self-evident truth that the answers to these questions are no? Isn't it also a self-evident truth that in order to maintain access to the inalienable rights granted by God, that we must also maintain our God-given natural law responsibilities and duties in order to maintain our position or status in God's government or jurisdiction? Don't the governments of man require obedience to their laws in order to keep their civil rights? Why would it be any different for God? If we want to keep His inalienable rights, wouldn't we be expected to keep His laws, do His will by remaining obedient, loyal, and giving allegiance to Him and His government? If an individual, family, community, or nation freely chooses by consent, participation, or appeal to create or join a different government that has its own structure and form, which creates its own civil laws and grants its own civil rights to its members, persons, nationals, or citizens, doesn't the act of joining, giving allegiance, obedience, trust, and faith to this new government mean that they have rejected the Creator's government and rejected His laws? Doesn't it mean that the people have rejected God and His ways and, in essence, expatriating their natural status as a national in God's kingdom government in order to be naturalized into a new government created by men via consent, contracts, constitutions, participation, and appeal? Isn't this what happened to the Israelites when we read 1 Samuel chapter 8? So how does an individual, a family, a community, a nation once again get access to their God-given inalienable rights once they have lost them by their own free will choices, acts, and deeds? Repent. Turn around. Go the other way, God's way. Start taking back the responsibilities that are imposed on the nationals of God's kingdom government. Responsibilities do not follow rights. Rights follow responsibilities. The first step is to truly love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If we want our God-given unalienable rights back, we must stop exercising dominion over our neighbors. Start keeping the commandments. Do not covet. Do not steal. Which includes the legalized covetousness and plunder that is mandatory in all man-made governments. Start by coming together in free will assemblies of individuals and families that are seeking to return to God's kingdom government. Families and individuals start by seeking, striving, and working to be the departments of health, education, welfare, economy, defense, agriculture, energy, and justice for other families in the free assembly, but also for other families of families near and far. The Creator is the God of the living, not God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So if you want to be at our Missouri gathering, go to preparingyou.com. or His Holy Church and look up events. But Preparing You is going to be more up to date because everybody can work on that, everybody in the network. And hisholychurch.org is just going to point you to some of those places. But join the Living Network by going to thelivingnetwork.org, thelivingnetwork.org, or Preparing You and click on the network tab and join that network in your area. And ask them, find out about them, freely assemble, because, I mean, who are you going to call on? We're going to be the Ghostbusters you're going to need to call on, because we're going to break the spirit of evil by repenting and turning towards the spirit of righteousness, which is Christ's plan. It doesn't mean join another church. It doesn't mean to develop another doctrine, man-made doctrine. It means to conform to Christ. What's happened, though, is what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven, and you've bound yourself on earth. And you're not loose. And so I was talking about golems, G-O-L-E-M, and you can look this up. I mean, it's on Wikipedia, it's around. And it was this folklore where they could supposedly create this monster out of clay. And really, this story actually, if you trace it back in history, the concept of the story, it goes back clean to Babylon. And, you know, when they've excavated Ur and places like that, they find these clay tablets everywhere with writing on them. They covered everything from marriage contracts to business agreements to what have you. And they would etch them. They had that form of writing that lended itself to etching into clay, because of the fact that it was these marks at angles and everything. It's kind of a code. And those clay tablets would be baked and then deposited, and that would be the contract that created this institution or agreement or contract. Contract makes the law. And so those clay tablets that created an institution were the golem. That's the monster. The institution is the monster. You know, they make the movie where they actually make a big monster out of clay and he walks around and he picks up people, and that's just a symbol. This is the story of Frankenstein. Frankenstein was the doctor who brought something to live by taking parts and flesh from other people and made a monster. And there's a touch of reality into that, because that's what you do. That's what a corporation is. A corporation is two or more people gathered together as if they're one person. That's what Frankenstein Monster is. Two or more people gathered together as if it is one person. That's Frankenstein Monster. That's the corporation. That's Golem. G-O-L-E-M. Do you think it's a coincidence that you have Gollum in the Lord of the Rings? He's created life by some other influence, getting in him and making him something different than what he was. And you do that. Now, how do you give life to a golem, this clay monster, in the tradition of Brothers Grimm and, you know, Polish tales? You take a piece of paper and you write the word emet on it. And that's the Hebrew word for truth. And you put it in his mouth. You take an oath, swearing that this is the truth. And now you're a part of the golem. You're one of the beasties. You know, one of the terror creatures you see in modern movies is this monster that is actually composed of like roaches or bugs or flies or something, and they all come together and they form this body that looks like a human. And, you know, when the good guy shoots it, the bullets just go through and it's still alive. And it's composed of all these other living creatures, you know. That's one of the scary things when I was a little kid. I saw a tarantula walking across the road down there in Houston, Texas, and it was this big, huge, hairy tarantula standing and walking, and we were on our way to school, not a public school, but on our way to school, and I picked up a board and I threw it at it, and it hit it right, you know, this the end of the board hit it, and when it did, it exploded into, like, you know, it wasn't thousands, but it might as well have been, in my imagination, thousands of little tiny spiders running out in every direction. And that was scary. This giant spider turned into thousands of spiders. And I mean, that's the absolutely terrible image in horror. What was happening was the tarantulas will carry all their babies on their back. And that's why it looked so big. It was actually just baby tarantulas on it. And when I hit it and killed the mother tarantula, all the babies just ran in every direction. But I was unaware that I was going to have that visual image, and still to this day, half a century later or more, it's still very vivid in my mind as one of those scary moments, you know, enough to creep you out and create a phobia about spiders. But that's one of the images. Well, now let's equate that to where you're at right now. You're one of those little spiders with the character of the beast, riding on the back of the beast and all around the beast and walking on its legs. And you're the offspring of the beast because you have lived according to the nature of the beast in your social estate. If someone were to kill the beast in an instant, all those little beasties would run in every direction. Total chaos. Someone running towards me. Well, it was the two or three of us there at the time, and when that picture, we all were just like totally creeped out, went running down the street. Well, I was very little, very little. I was only 18. No, I was like 8. So it was kind of a creepy sight. But that's where you're at. People, well, they want to overthrow the government. That's scary, because all you beasties will still be there. Millions of beasties in America, a shortage of food and water, and the beast is gone, nothing to control them, and everybody being little beasties robbing and pillaging and murdering and raping, because you all have the character of the beast. Now, if you want to come out of her, you have to change your ways. And you can't do that. You have to head back to your father's house and be changed. You have to actually start loving your neighbor as yourself, including your neighbors who work for DCF or whatever agency, whatever alphabetical agency they work for. You have to love them, not judge them. Realize that they're a victim of your sloth. They have been given power and they become drunk on power. You're going to have to start dealing with the stress instead of hiding from it. And that means when somebody in your congregation is in need, you be there for them. If nobody in your congregation is in need, great. Now everything that you would have given to them, you can give to your minister and he will pass it on to somewhere else in a network of congregations where it can do good. And what you're doing is creating the mem, the circulation of righteousness. You're beginning to take care of the specific welfare of the needy. Not just those needy who can scratch your back, but needy 1,000 miles away. The needy who haven't yet even come to the network. If you're not doing that, don't expect any help from God, because you have abandoned the ways of God. Now, how do you kill a golem? The word emet that we see as truth, it's one of those three-letter words. Most Hebrew words are three letters, and they're actually all three-letter bases. We create letters by, you know, words by taking away a letter and adding a letter of meaning. But the word truth is a pretty fundamental word, and it's three letters long. And it's composed of Aleph, Mem, Tav. Aleph, Mem, Tav. And that Tav is faith. Mem is flow. Again, that charity, that flow. But if you take away the Aleph, you now you have a new word. It's a two-letter word. It's Mem and Tav. The Aleph. What is the Aleph? The Aleph is actually a letter composed of letters. It's composed of two yods and a vav. Now, it's different in different, you know, Paleo-Hebrew and stuff, but basically, in dealing with this Hebrew, that's what you would see, is two yods and a vav. Vav is a connecting letter. And if you want to see a painting of the Aleph, is it Michelangelo's painting where it shows God reaching out his hand and then man reaching out his hand towards God, and they're both reaching their fingers towards each other to touch? That's the Aleph. Yad, God. Yad, man. Made in the image of God. Connected. Take that out of the equation of truth. The truth that has given life to the golem, and the golem dies. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you have bound on earth is you in the corporate golem of the world. You have become a corporate corpuscle of the beast. But it isn't enough to take you out of the beast unless your spirit changes to a true Aleph, God and man connected. Not just in the physical form, but in the spiritual form. In other words, you have to begin to act with the character of God, in the name of God. The name. Somebody wrote me a big thing, sent it to me on Facebook. I'm not even sure how all that works. I hardly get on Facebook, but I saw the notice, and it was this whole thing on the true name of God, Yahweh, Yadavah, Yah, you know, whatever, Yeshua, not Jesus, all the stuff, the true name. We get the letters right and we got the name right. That's idolatry. The name of God is the character of God. The letters just supposedly represent that character. They identify. There's a way in which to identify it. I can guarantee if you went through God's pockets, you would not find an identification card with his name on it. It just wouldn't be there. I'm that's my opinion. It's also my belief. Because his name is not a name of letters. It's the character of his being. I am that I am. Like Popeye, I am what I am. The Aleph is when you put on the character of God. When you allow God to write upon your heart and upon your mind. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that you might be saved. Might be saved. But unless you put on the character of Christ, you ain't saved. You can go worship the image of Christ which you have created in your mind and imagine that you're saved. But if you do that, you're going to find yourself in the bondage of Egypt because you're not dealing with stress. You're having somebody else do it. and you will become drunk on the benefits so that you will not want to admit that you have gone the wrong way, and you will continue to go the wrong way, and somebody will come along and take your daughter from you and torture her right in front of your eyes, and you will not have the power to do anything about it until you begin to repent. But you have to really repent in order to get the power of God, because you can't fool God. Now, we talked about this Free Justina, and you can read more about that and see more about that by going to preparingyou.com and looking up Free Justina in the search engine up there, and it'll open up you'll come to an article on that, and it has links to a lot of the other articles and pictures and videos and what have you, and you can find out. But the reason I bring this up is because I love your daughters as much as I love Justina and all the other daughters and your sons' sons yet unborn. And I know that their only salvation is to return to the ways of Christ, and the ways of Christ are not covetous ways. They are not ways of force. They are ways of love and charity. And unless you help others live by charity, you will not be able to live by charity. Unless you give, you will not be given to. Unless you forgive, you will not be forgiven. And although you might have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will not be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, because you have not done things in His name, according to His character. He came and gave up His life. You won't even give up a tithing to men you choose, who are actually providing the social welfare of society in a way that strengthens society, which is the mission of the church, to feed His sheep. You know, if you overfeed the sheep and make them fat at the time of breeding, they will not breed. They will not breed well. They will not have twins. They will have all kinds of problems because you've overfed them. You've made them lazy. Right now, if I took you out in the barn, it's overflowing with lambs. We got lambs in the field right now before I started the radio show, twins. Why? Because I feed the church's sheep cheesecake? No. Because I know what they need. And they need exercise, they need effort, they need to seek and find. So therefore you don't need cheesecake either. You need to deal with the stress of life and stop hiding from it behind your drugs and your alcohol and your benefits and your entitlements. You need to repent. You need to create a relationship between you and God that is based on faith, that is separate from the truth that has given life to the golem. You gave life to the golem. You, your fathers, and your fathers before you have given life to the monsters of the world because you wanted them to go about and do your bidding for you. So you put a portion of your right to choose in them, and they've become monsters and beasts. If you want to kill them, you have to develop that relationship between you and God by starting to live by faith, hope, and charity in free assemblies. You are allowed to do that. It's getting harder, but you are allowed to do that. And this is what the early church was doing. This is what Israel was doing while they were still in Egypt. And this will make the word of God to effect and bring the power of God. This will kill the golem. You can stab it with a sword. You can shoot it with an AK-47. And that bullets just go right into the clay. They don't kill it. They absorb it. They will use it. That energy against you. But if you return to your father's house and develop that relationship between you and God by becoming that individual who casts his bread upon the waters, who sacrifices his life because he cares about his neighbor and his neighbor's children and his neighbor's children's children as much as he cares about himself. So every time you gather together in a congregation a free assembly. Whether somebody has a need or not, you will give blood so that you may have blood more abundant. And you will give it to the men. You will take the responsibility to give it to the men of your choice and watch to see that they use it wisely to strengthen the poor, if not in your network, in the next network. You know, in the other parts of the network. Of congregations of congregations of congregations. This is how free societies are formed. But you don't know how to do that. You're not practiced in the ways of righteousness. And so they come and they take your daughters. And they take your sons. And they make their instruments of war. Going back to the Constitution will not save you. Getting some other leader to be elected as head of the golem will not save you. Seeking righteousness in all your benefaction to become the benefactors of society who don't exercise authority will not only give you the physical instrument by which to survive when the golem dies, but it will give you now the spiritual armor so that you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you don't have to fear any evil because you will not enter the abode of evil alone. If you get angry, if you get impatient, if they make you mad, you've already lost. If you are driven by a sense of hating unrighteousness, rather than loving righteousness, you've lost already. You need to repent of that and gather together. And one way to do that is to, you know, go help out Justina, but don't take too much pride in that. If you don't gather together with others in preparation for your day of calamity, what are you going to do? How will you be safe? How will your children be safe? Because you really can't think about yourself more than your children, and you can't think about your children more than you do your neighbor's children. So you have to realize that in the cause of righteousness and life, you must be a giver of life. You must be a giver to receive. It's bad enough that you have made covenants with them that do not believe in the ways of liberty, the ways of God. But now, how will you be free? By restoring that relationship between you and God, by becoming like Christ, that you come to sacrifice yourself. So anyway, you've conjured up the beast, you fed the beast, you've become a part of the beast. Now you have to repent. And you will have no alternative to repent. I just pulled up Golem at Wikipedia. They got all kinds of pictures of golems. It's the ultimate Frankenstein monster. It is the ultimate beast, and you've created it. You and the other 6-7 billion people on the face of the earth. It's time to repent. It's time to go the other way, to operate according to the ways of righteousness. So go join the Living Network. Go to preparingyou.com, join the network there. In your area, start to meet with other people and start becoming the assembly of God, the real assembly of God, not the church. Till then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.